Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Patreon. This is the Talking Simpsons Patreon's special bonus podcast just for you to give you updates on what we're doing and to read and answer some of your comments. And, of course, I'm Bob Mackey, here as always with...
Henry Gilbert, and I'm diddly delighted to talk to all you patrons, and it's just the two of us out of my kitchen
today.
That's
right. We could sound a little different, but we're using professional equipment, so I think it'll all be fine, and if not, we'll adjust it as we need to. But we're still going to be recording our normal episodes either at the shared studio where we record Retronauts or Chris's apartment, so if you don't like how this sounds, and you should... they all won't sound like this.
Yeah, no, but I wanted to, you know, another positive about us being free to record in the daytime is that you and me both live in Berkeley, so we can come to my place or your place in Berkeley and record there.
And if you live in San Francisco, the East Bay, where we live, is sort of like the forbidden zone. No, no one dares venture into it. It's too scary. Too many trains you need to get onto to get there.
It's one transfer. Yeah. And that was my weekend of the Pride Parades, of just realizing what going to record some stuff, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but just going to record stuff in the city, doing a train ride I have done literally 2,000 times, and surrounded by people just like, what train? Where does it go?
Everyone needed like notes pinned to their chests. Like, my name is Sam. I am going to the Pride Parade. Please help me. We just wanted to talk about a few things. You guys, some updates. One thing is what we're making progress on, and we are like really far ahead on Talking Simpsons recordings. Just to reassure you, we are so committed to this. But also, we just recorded 3 new episodes of Talking Critic at the shared studio where we do Retronauts with Michael Raparez and Diana Goodman.
Yep, yeah.
So those are all in the can. And Henry, why don't you talk more about when those will be launching? What's our plan for those?
Well, yeah, so I want to get a lot more in the can first because Michael and Diana will have limited availability, especially Michael. Diana has a little more flexibility with her job. She can work from home some days or takes days off, but... Michael has an office-ass job, and now
Diana's a dog mom, so she can't be as freewheeling as she used to be.
Yeah, and so I just wanted, once we start posting Talking Critics, I don't want to take a break. Like, it's got to be every week until we're done, so, you know, there's 23 episodes, we've done 2 already, and if we're going to do one episode that is the Flash animated series, then there's really going to be 22 more episodes of the show.
Right, I want to break that up into maybe 2 episodes, because there are too many of those, even though there are just 10. Ugh. And what I hate, when I go to Wikipedia to look at critic information, which I do a lot, it says The Critic is a 30-episode series. I'm like, wait, 30 episodes? And then they count the Adam Films episodes as real Critic episodes. They're not.
No, that's such a cheat. Yeah. So we have recorded the next 3, and they were a lot of fun, and we delved into some real critic history as well, and Steve the dog was very good for 80% of the recording.
We're gonna have to edit out a lot of Steve. He's getting used to the outside world. He was on the streets for a while, then they locked him up. He was a pound puppy, if you will.
So we are already working on the Talking Critic, and then I as well have some more interviews I'm setting up that I'm really excited about, but I don't want to say the names because it might not happen. That's how I treat it until it is recorded. I treat it as like, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah. You can't, even when you get like a yes from somebody, like we just, I'm not going to spoil it for Laser Time, but
it's so exciting.
On Monday, there's a really good podcast. We recorded an interview, and it was one I could have bragged about for months outside of our group, but didn't want to. I was like, no, the world, they have to be surprised by it. So I've been working on that too, and I didn't even show Bob when he came into my place, but I have a giant stack of Simpsons classic published content that I have been going through for more stuff we can do too.
And I need to borrow those. It's been a while since I've read any of that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I guess today is a good time to do that. But we're planning a ton of stuff. And also, as you know, if you can count, we are getting closer to the end of the season. And that is when we normally do our season wrap ups. But we're going to be going a bit bigger than we did last time.
That's right. I think I've teased it a number of times throughout the season, but I definitely, from season 5 onwards, we were going to do a cutscenes bonus episode, because I would say maybe 20% of you listening have the DVDs, I'm guessing, and maybe 5% of that 20% has actually watched all the cutscenes. And from my perspective, it's just interesting in watching them. asking yourself, why did they cut this? Could this have been a classic Simpsons line that we would tell each other constantly for the past 20 years? So we're going to be doing an audio version of that and a video version of that. And I kind of want the audio version to be like a more edited down version, but the video one will be us watching the scenes, commenting on them, and you'll get to watch them with us semi-legally.
Yes, yeah. Hey, just don't tell Fox about it, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're working on that, and I'm just super duper excited, and I, you know, I've said it lots, but I'll just say it again, like, thanks to everybody who signed up for the Patreon, who's just in the first 2 weeks, we've gotten past our first goal,
yeah.
And like, that goal was like, rent, that was the rent goal, and now, you know, the more we bring in the, you know, nicer...
We hit the food goal.
Yeah, it's like, alright, food now.
Yeah.
And the more we can focus just on Simpsons and doing more cool stuff, and also, you know, I really do want to hit that second goal, I'm hoping we can, then the signups have been going so well, and everybody... When they see what we want to do with that, I've gotten so many people saying, like, are you going to do Gravity Falls? Or
yes.
Are you going to do Transformers? Are you going to do, like, a million things? Like, are you going to do X, Y, and Z?
I've said yes to everything. I was like, yes, as long as we have the funding to do it and we have, we don't stop with this. I don't think we will. But, yeah, I want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, I think we've communicated how miserable we were at our last job, and it's funny, like, technically I was employed, I did go to a place for 8 hours a day, but compared to the amount of the work I'm doing now, at the old job, I was doing nothing, or I might as well have been doing nothing. I'm so busy every day, and it's great because I'm doing what I want to do, and you guys are responding really well, so I don't think we're getting lazy and complacent now that we have this funding coming in. I think it's making us work harder.
Oh, yeah, and I work harder on stuff that I actually own and have an investment in.
Yes, that too.
As opposed to something that really nobody ever read or reacted to, or just was may as well have not been done.
Yeah.
You know? And There is an extra investment in that. I think that's why, you know, I went to Patreon for so many of the people I like, because they were doing these things in their spare time, and like we could have kept doing this just after hours, but it would have been limited to one thing a week, you know,
yeah.
And whenever we could fit it in.
And at least one person said, I sound happier. So I think it's coming through that we're much happier doing this.
And you got a lot of compliments on your looks.
That's true. I'm so flattered. Let me tell you, moisturize and use conditioner and you will always look like me.
But
not a guarantee.
It seemed like everybody thought I looked like what I thought they thought I looked like. Or they are more used to seeing me on video, though it's not like you never appear in video.
I've been in lots of videos, yeah. And a few people said, like, our voices should be switched. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. But I wanted to go over two things before we start talking about the comments we've been getting. One thing is I wrote a post on Patreon that is basically explaining how to access all of our bonus stuff outside of Patreon, because this is not me being cranky. I've had to answer this question maybe 15 times, and people on Retronauts ask, and I think because of doing this for so long, I know how podcasts work, but I don't expect everyone to know exactly how they work. But if you go to the Patreon page, I made a post. It's basically, the title is, how do I access my Patreon stuff outside of Patreon? And the one great thing is, because Patreon just gives you an RSS address, you can plug that into any podcast player, device, anything. They're all set up to read addresses because, in case you didn't know, a podcast player, it just grabs files from an address. That's basically, that's the magic of a podcast player. And
even as big as iTunes is, that's just what it does too.
Yeah, those addresses just point it towards a file and it grabs the file. So once you subscribe to the Patreon at the $5 and up level, you will get that RSS code in an email. If you lose that email, it's on the front page. But like I said, any podcast player, iTunes, anything you want to use, if you plug that in, you insert your username and password once, and then it'll just download things as they become live. It's that easy.
I'm embarrassed to say that until a month ago, I didn't know you could do that either. Like, I subscribe to, I think, 4 different podcasts on Patreon, and I just listened to them through the app, and then you pointed out to me, like, no, you've just put it in the RSS feed.
I mean, that feed is not easy to find on a busy page, and I pointed that out, like, don't worry, like, I had to look for it. I forgot where it was when I was doing the research, so, yeah, and I feel like as good as Patreon is for creators, I don't want to slag on them too hard, but their service was never really built as a place to host media, as a podcast directory, and they're getting better, but I don't like their app. In fact, nobody does if you look at what it's rated on the iTunes Music Store and in the Android Store. So I feel like still using an outside player, and I personally recommend the player Downcast. That is the best way to do it, the best way to get our files.
Yeah, you know, Patreon, I've been working closely with Patreon for 2 years, you even longer than me, and compared to the 2015 way Patreon worked, this is leaps and bounds improved, especially
it really is.
As somebody who provides exclusive audio and video content. It hosts it so much better, and it's nice that for a company that takes 10% of your money, that they at least are like, there's seemingly no limits on audio files you can upload. It's just like, if I uploaded 8 gigs or 1 gig, it wouldn't care either way.
Yeah, that's a definite plus. They never yell at you about caps. So,
which is fine, because they're like taking $700 from us
this month. So. It's gotten much better. It's not perfect, but now you at least have a way to access things outside of Patreon. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and Henry might have more after me, is I know you're giving us money. That's how you're listening to this. If we could ask you to do one more thing in your free time, like 5 minutes, if you could please write us a good review on the iTunes Music Store, even if you don't use iTunes. Nobody I know actually uses iTunes anymore, because it just got, the program got really, really bad, and it forgot how podcasts work, which is why I stopped using it. But for some reason, for whatever reason, it is still like the definitive podcast ranking. And if you guys write us a bunch of reviews at once, we will go up the charts, more people will find us, more people will presumably give us money, and we can do more things. So if you have like 5 minutes, just write us a quick review on the iTunes Music Store, and we would really appreciate it. And we actually might read some of those on our next show that we do.
Yes.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, I love what Bonus Time on Laser Time does of reading comments and interacting with the community. And it's something we really, I interact with the community all the time in comments sections, or if somebody tweets at me about it, but I never, we never read comments on the show just because of the nature of how we record it.
It's
we
already an hour and a half long, too.
that too. So yeah. I wanted to do a separate show for that. Oh, and I did want to say, before we get in the comments, is that definitely have had a lot of people asking about Cape Crisis stuff, if I'm going to do more Cape Crisis stuff. This month has been super full of working on things, and I'm hoping in July there will be a little more time that I could record a separate, maybe just solo Cape Crisis thing, maybe if Chris is into it. But we're all very busy, but I at least want to do a solo Cape Crisis thing to tell all my comic book loving fans that what I have been up to and reading. Keep an eye out for that. That'll be a free thing. It's not going to be on the... That seems even more confusing. It's like, it's a Talking Simpsons Patreon, and here's Cape Crisis, but only for you subscribers.
It's like, already complicated.
So I just make a new one and upload it to the old feed, which was last updated, I think, in October. So, yeah, anyway, that's a Cape Crisis update. But these comments... I collected comments from a bunch of the posts, both on Patreon and on Laser Time. I think in the future, we'll just go with like the two most recent episodes, or how many episodes we do in between these. We don't really have like a regular schedule figured out yet. This bonus show, or for Talking Patreon, as we're calling it.
I think once a month is probably good.
Yeah, I think once a month. And also, if you comment on this post, that will also be something we'll look to next time for comments as well.
What should I start?
With Sweet Seymour. Yeah, so I put these are sorted by episode, so let's start with Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song.
A great, great episode. So I'll read the first one. This is from Alex Forsyth. He says, "This and Bart the Genius back-to-back are my oldest Simpsons watching memories." Wow, you're much younger than us.
Yes.
"I was never able to watch Simpsons prior to it going into syndication. There was only one TV in the house at the time, and I never got TV control on Sundays.
Aww.
I'm 99% sure I was being forced to watch Road to Avonlea instead. Road to Avonlea was a Canadian show about a 10-year-old girl used to living in luxury in Montreal, but is forced to move in with her aunts in a tiny town in a Prince Edward Island after her mom dies and dad can't take care of her anymore. Oh, and it takes place in 1903. As you can imagine, 9-year-old me was thrilled about watching this instead of The Simpsons." Yeah.
Wow, that is quite a punishment to have to watch a period drama set in Canada, of all places, too. Joseph Hodgson said, I remember being disappointed with this episode when it first aired because Fox promoted it as Bart's biggest prank slash stunt ever, and the re-airing of Bart the Genius made me think that it was the first episode for many years, probably until I got the DVDs. I mean, it's so complicated way of thinking that, technically if you consider the Christmas episode a Christmas special, then the first episode is Bart the Genius.
Right. Is Bart the Genius the second production episode?
It is production.
Okay.
Too, yes.
And Some Enchanted Evening is the first, and the Christmas episode is like the seventh or eighth.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes. It's very complicated.
It is all very complicated. But so, man, to find out only once you get the DVDs what episodes aired in what order is also pretty nutty to me.
Mm-hmm. So Sean Atkinson says, "Hey guys, love the show. That statement that Superintendent Chalmers makes about facts having no place an organized religion. I reckon that was cut from Australian broadcasts of this episode, at least the early broadcasts."
Really?
That's from Sean. Yeah. I don't know if they're still as censor happy, but for some reason, everything in Australia used to get censored or still gets censored. I don't know why their government is so intensely devoted to that. I know, I remember Grand Theft Auto 3 when that came out 15 years ago. The reason I bought it as a slightly dumber person, the GameStop clerk was like, "Dude, this was banned in Australia. You gotta buy it. They're gonna take it off the shelves."
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
As game critics know, Australia is a very censorious nation, or at least it briefly was, and that they even were like, unlike in America where we censor stuff, the companies censor things by selectiveness, the government doesn't get involved, but in Australia, not so much. Australia, the government actually does prevent things from airing or being sold. So I'm surprised they would even cut something like The Simpsons. I can't wait for us to do the Australia episode in a few months.
I'd really like to get our former coworker, still Australian person we know.
Yeah, I almost feel a little bad of like, "Hey, what about Australia? Can you be like, we don't ask her to be on any other Simpsons episode but the Australia one."
She's our token Australian friend.
So going back to Burns' heir, David Thompson has an interesting theory reading on the Mr. Kearns section. "I always read Mr. Kearns' part of Homer trying to intentionally write the card as if Bart had some sort of learning difficulties, so Mr. Burns would feel sympathy for him and give him the money. That's why I thought he made him say, 'me sick,' at the end, to better spell out the implied learning difficulties. I also thought Homer's response is, 'ooh, he card reads good,' and 'it's Kern, stupid,' were that he had gone complete method with the character he'd created for Bart. Anyway, the jokes works for being stupid Homer or manipulative Homer. It's funny either way." It's an interesting reading that Homer went so deep into it that he wrote it that way, but he's just so stupid. I can't see it that way.
It has to be the stupid one. I mean, I appreciate that you put so much thought into this, but when Homer says, "it's Kearns, idiot," and Marge says, "no, it's not," and he says, "disregard."
Disregard.
I think it was him. He can't write. He doesn't know his boss's name. Homer is the stupid. I wish it was him going method and him being smart enough to try to make Bart seem like he had a learning disability to have Mr. Burns have pity for him, but I don't think it's that.
That's a little too much thought for Homer, I'd say.
Dan Monroe says, "My drive-in of choice still plays the series of commercials between movies." I think he's talking about the Let's All Go to the Lobby.
Yes, yeah. The Let's All Go to the Lobby stuff touched multiple people.
And it's the most charming animation I've ever seen.
Yeah, I watched the video of it. It was even cuter. You should check it in the comments, but it's even cuter than the Let's All Go to the Lobby one. It is like a countdown clock that's like, the movie will start in 5 minutes, and each minute, between each minute, they then show like a three-ring circus of anthropomorphic food dancing around.
I have not seen this.
The weirdest one is, it is a lion tamer thing, but the lion tamer is the bun of a hot dog, and the lion is the hot dog. And he makes the hot dog jump into him as the final trick.
So that was the inspiration for that Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah, it was.
I forgot the name of that movie. What is it? Wiener Wars?
Wiener
I don't know.
Stuff.
A hot dog looks like a penis, the movie.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
So, well, and that clip also affected Jonah Gregory, which he said, "There is still a drive-in theater in Oak Harbor, Washington that I take my family to, and they do play Let's All Go to the Lobby bumper as well as vintage Looney Tunes between movies."
Ooh.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I think you're most likely to find those being played at non-chain theaters because they have more free reign. If you're at an AMC theater, it's like, no, you play the Coke commercial now, then you play the ad for the 3DS, and then you play 8 minutes of trailers. Like, there's no free reign to put in little fun curated things.
I mean, Coca-Cola did pay $100 million for that.
True.
I don't forgive them for not airing it. You lose a lot of charm that way.
I actually, I'm so spoiled, I never go to chain theaters here because I have so many like local ancient theaters in this area. So if you're ever in Berkeley or SF, go to one of the many old movie palaces. They're great. So Vulpes says, before I start, I love the start of this sentence. I've never heard a sentence start like this, but I want to hear more start like this. So he begins, on the subject of Stallone's dick, his first acting role was in a porn that was re-released following the success of Rocky. The original hardcore cut has not been released, but if anyone is desperate to see Rocky fuck, know that it is out there somewhere. And I actually know about this.
Yes.
It was renamed The Italian Stallion, but I think it was like A Night at Kitty's or something like that. I totally forget what the actual name is. But
it's perfect renaming, but it's one of those interesting turnarounds of, you hear it more with actresses than actors who do a salacious thing before they go big, and then people sell their sex thing. I think the biggest equivalent to that now is that these actresses who are really good, before they got famous, they would star in a horror film, and they're like, well, yeah, it's a horror film, you gotta show your boobs. They're like, fine.
It's much harder to dabble in pornography now, because once you are in a porn, you are a porn star. That's it. There's no like getting out of that. You're stuck in that role.
Yeah, I remember watching an HBO documentary on like the life of a porn star. I think it was called like Life After Porn, and one of the longtime veterans of porn, she said, if you're going to start being in porn, you just need to assume your family will see this and
yes,
we'll find out. Like, just have that in mind. You can't, they'll find it. And now, especially like Google, now honestly everybody Googles everybody. Like, if you're on a first date with somebody, you better believe they Googled you and know what a dork you are.
They looked at your LinkedIn account, see if you're man material.
And Brad Parsons echoes comments I read from many people where I said Barry Sonnenfeld was the director of Toys. It is not. It is Barry Levinson.
How are these two Barrys different? All I know is the one Hollywood Barry. Levinson is Toys.
That is Toys and Men in Black and all that. I forget Sonnenfeld is.
Let's look it up right now.
But yes, Brad Parsons said, Barry Levinson, Barry Levinson, Barry Levinson, not Sonnenfeld, every freaking time.
Okay, so we are actually still getting things wrong. Sonnenfeld is cinematographer for the Coen brothers and did the Addams Family movies, Men in Black, Get Shorty.
Okay.
And then Levinson is Toys and what else? Levinson, slightly more distinguished career. Diner, The Natural, Good Morning Vietnam, Bugsy, Wag the Dog, Rain Man. So I will forget all of this after we're done recording. I still can't keep it in my head, but we'll try to remember if Toys ever comes up, and it won't.
I wonder if on 302010, when I talked about Men in Black, if I said Sonnenfeld or Levinson.
I think it's a problem throughout the entire network. It's infecting ours.
I'm sorry. It's a Mandela effect on Barry's. We just can't keep it straight.
So Mike Russo says, the trolley song. Never seen it in the movie it originated from, but I'm very familiar with it through its use in several cartoons, including two Tom and Jerry cartoons, Catfishing and Old Rocking Chair Tom. It was also used at the end of a Cow and Chicken cartoon, with Cow and Chicken singing together in the shower after military training to man them up fails. Not so subtle gay joke there. But then again, that was 90% of Cow and Chicken. He's right. I hated Cow and Chicken.
Cow and Chicken really sucked. I won't say really sucked, but it was. What if Ren and Stimpy was like gayer?
And more, I mean, okay, so I think we all know from these podcasts that I love Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, yes.
So Dave Feast is also a great animator, a great artist. He's the guy who made Cow and Chicken and some other stuff I forget about. But it's like these weird, even more annoying versions of Ren and Stimpy. Mm-hmm. And they're all voiced by... Every character is voiced by Charlie Adler.
Yeah.
And it's too much Adler for one show.
It is overload. And it's like a cheap thing. I think when he made the pilot, he's like, I can afford three actors. So you're going to have to be Cow, Chicken, and the Devil. And if there's any other incidental voices, you got to be half of those. And yeah, it was Charlie Adler overload. Like, I love Charlie Adler's voice, but
he's great,
but he can't be the super gay devil and then also the mentally handicapped cow, and then the screaming chicken.
The Brooklyn Wise Guy. Yeah. I think I like the I Am Weasel shorts because it was just a break from Charlie Adler. He still played the baboon, but Michael Dorn was the weasel. It was just like a brief respite from more Charlie Adler.
It's the one break. Yeah. Did Charlie Adler have to be the baboon? Just get anybody else for that voice.
What's Frank Welker doing?
And then, speaking, and his connection to Ren and Stimpy as well, like he's on the commentaries that he's on some of the commentaries that Crick Faluzzi did on the Ren and Stimpy DVDs, which is just so weird. Well, it's not so weird when you think John Kay would not invite any of the games animation betrayers to be on the commentary.
They wanted to destroy him. Also, David Feiss, creator of Cow and Chicken, also he did the crap on in a hat bit in the Max comic book.
Oh!
That was his artwork, and then I think he actually worked on the cartoon version of it.
Oh,
so
wow!
He's been around for a long time doing a lot of stuff.
I did not know that.
We have a really long comic coming up from our buddy Daniel Feit. Do you want to?
Yeah, I'll go into this because I solicited this comment from him even. So this is in Bark Gets an Elephant, if you recall. We talk a lot about Sazae-san.
Sazae. We got it right this time.
And the very long-running anime series in Japan. And I tell a story that involves Daniel Feit and his family going to the Orlando Simpsons in Universal and Japanese people making the comparison themselves of the Simpsons to Sazae-san. And so I asked Daniel Feit to confirm or deny it, and this is what he had to say. I'm so flattered to receive a shout-out on Talking Simpsons. Thanks. Now let me explain what you got wrong. English Wikipedia says Sazae-san has over 7,000 episodes, but that's only because each week airing includes three individual tales. Japanese Wikipedia distinguishes between airings and stories, so it puts the count closer to 2,400, which is still a whole lot. I must interject here to state that I find the show excruciating to watch, and since reruns are very rare, I wouldn't be surprised if they've recycled scripts and no one noticed. The only two actors have voiced their characters for the entire run on the show, the lead, Sazae-san, and the lady who plays her young son, Tara-chan. Two of the lead actors performed until their deaths, others simply retired. Like The Simpsons, no one on Sazae-san ever ages, but unlike The Simpsons, the era of the show stopped updating itself decades ago. The house has a single rotary phone, the family TV is encased in a wooden box, and Sazae-san's parents regularly wear kimono, which very few Japanese people still do day to day. FYI, the show in second place on that anime list, Nintama Rantaro, has over 1,800 episodes and airs daily, not weekly. Jesus. But by my count, there are 9 anime series currently airing in Japan with more episodes than The Simpsons, though very few of them have been on the air longer than The Simpsons. That started in the 90s. Most started in the 90s and simply never stopped.
Hmm.
And then he's correcting us.
Sa-za-a. We got it.
Three syllables, four with a san. And then lastly, about the story I told about Daniel and his wife. For the record, my wife knows who The Simpsons are. She owns a few classic seasons on DVD. I've been watching them as I follow the podcast. But yeah, she was not particularly excited by Simpsons at Universal. As for my kids, well, they have no idea who The Simpsons are, so all they cared about was eating the donuts.
They'll have to wait for Sazae-san Land when that opens up. But I do want to talk a little bit about this. It's weird that I read Anime News Network because I like anime. Hopefully we'll cover anime on this little Patreon thing we're doing.
I've been reading Anime News Network on and off since like 1997.
Probably been like late 90s reader.
Yeah, I was just like, man, when will ADV announce a release date for the Nadia VHSs?
When will they announce their bankruptcy? I wanted to talk about this because I'll look at their rankings of what are people in Japan watching? Like, what are the top rated anime? This is always number one whenever I look at it. It's like Sazae-san, One Piece, Detective Conan, Dragon Ball Super, like everything you'd expect. So like nothing new is breaking that top five. Like Detective Conan is 20 years old, so is One Piece. Sazae-san is almost 50 years old, so people in Japan know what they like and they don't want to stop liking it.
Yeah, I didn't know the anime was so, that was something to find out as an anime fan in the mid-2000s finally, of realizing, oh, the things I like are not the most popular things there.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, we're getting just the dork stuff that's sold to us and does well. Like, Cowboy Bebop was way bigger here than it was in Japan. Not that it wasn't a hit in Japan. Like, people bought stuff.
And it's funny, when you look at how well made that show is and how no other Cell animated show will ever look as good, and then you find out it aired at 2 a.m. on a satellite station on, like, Thursday or something crazy like that.
Where'd it get that budget?
I don't
be on that. Like, Sunrise always had big budget anime around a contemporary of that from Sunrise was Escaflowne, and that certainly had a big budget too.
God, and I'm rewatching The Big O, and it's again, it's like, how did they make this show look this good? How did they get the money for these amazing fight scenes? A few other things I want to talk about is how Sazae-san froze things in time. I kind of wish The Simpsons did that. It just I don't like them having an HDTV. I still don't like them having a computer. I will say when Beavis and Butthead came back in 2011, they were still stuck in the 90s. They never said what year it was, but they had their same shitty TV with the bunny ears. Butthead didn't have a smartphone. No one was like talking about, you know, modern things. They did watch reality TV, but there was no updating of them, which was great. I think that was a great reboot. I'm sad it didn't work. MTV was like, oh, animation's too expensive and we can film nobodies having sex with each other.
It's interesting to think about how they deal with updating stuff on The Simpsons too, because Matt Groening, in his vision of the show when they were building it, is very specific of he wants this TV to look like a 50s TV. In 1990, people didn't have rabbit ears on their TV, but he wanted that. He wanted old-looking cars and old-looking things, and you could absolutely tell they resisted for so long to have like Lisa just pull out a laptop and answer a question.
Yeah,
they never wanted them to have a computer, or a whole episode would be built around Big Fat Homer gets a computer now. Like, whoa, a computer.
It's not a new computer in that episode, at least. It's like a Commodore 64 or like a workstation. But yeah, thank you, Daniel Fite. I will never watch this show because I can't and they won't let me, but I'm sure it's fine, but it's probably not for me.
Well, we got another expert Sazae-san opinion from our good buddy Space Coyote, aka the artist who did the amazing picture on our website.
So she says, I grew up watching Simpsons and watching Sazae-san. I can see how they're comparable and that they're both cartoon families every household knows. It's worth noting Sazae-san played an important role in feminism there because it starred a housewife with a lot of agency. I think it raised some controversy when Sazae-san started wearing pants. I'd say the Japanese cartoon most similar to The Simpsons is Chibi Maruko-chan. I've seen a lot of this, by the way.
I don't know that show.
Just memes, but I've never actually watched an episode of
it. Oh, okay. I think I know the one you're talking about.
She goes on to say it's about a young girl, her family, and her school friends, and there's a lot of sarcastic humor. There are some episodes dubbed in English if anyone is interested, and she has a link to that. And I'm sure you can find that on YouTube. But thanks for the info. I mean, I didn't know this many people knew about Sazae-san. I guess I should have known better because it's so huge and has lasted so long.
I only grabbed one comment from the one critic episode we posted on the site, but I really like this one. So there's a joke in the episode about Hangus Nagore.
He should have visited the acting fields.
Then we talk about how they had to edit out a joke about him from The Simpsons, which would be in the Pin Pals episode of season 7. Robert Flaxman corrects us here. Regarding the Hangus Nagore Oscar joke from The Simpsons, in later airings, they changed the name on the statue to Don Ameche. So in the first airing, it was Hangus Nagore, and like within months, he was murdered. So
yeah,
they had to change it, obviously.
I mean, I'm glad they went in and made that change out of respect, because he was like this incredibly brave man who lived to make a movie about his horrible experience and then was just murdered.
Yeah, just randomly murdered. And it's a horrifying end. And it also paints the joke very differently of Homer stealing an Oscar from someone.
Yes, I think we said, did Homer kill him? Is that the joke? But it reads a lot differently now.
Well, meanwhile, who cares what Don Ameche did?
I mean, he won an Oscar for Cocoon, supporting actor. But
yes.
I have here Dr. Hangus Nagore died about a month after Pin Pals aired.
Whoa.
So that joke was funny for 1 month.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yes. The critic didn't last long enough for them to change that joke. So
it aired once. Doing the episodes of Critic we've done, I forgot just how fast they get to cancellation. It's incredible how fast they get
it's
to
like
cancellation.
It's like four or five episodes?
They give it six episodes.
Six episodes out of 13.
Out of 13. Yeah. And they just air the other eight, or no. Other seven after the fact in the summer once they made up their mind. Like, I was looking it up in Variety at the time. In March is when they've made the transfer to Fox already. Like, the deal has been made in March, which obviously they got to do that if they're going to have season 2 episodes ready a year from then.
Yeah, it's true.
But man, it's just so sad for the critic that they got until the beginning of March and they're just like, eh, fuck you.
ABC was not a good fit. And they were not on a good night either. I mean, it was like the Home Improvement bump, or maybe. I don't know.
Well,
I forget
it shows
what it was.
How special The Simpsons is, as all the failures of wannabe shows are. Even the successes are mostly shows that get a lead-in from The Simpsons. You get a connective audience to it. Like, how many animated shows have been successful that weren't on Fox that didn't have The Simpsons and then Family Guy or King of the Hill also to grow from, you know? Like, it's, I can't really think of any that were on CBS, ABC, or NBC that were actually successful.
Actually, what killed a lot of Fox's cartoon primetime programming was, I think it was around the year 2000, they moved all every animated show but The Simpsons to Tuesday night. So it was like the PJ's, King of the Hill, and then two other things, Futurama and something else. And everything died but King of the Hill, basically, because it was too strong to die. They moved that back and they canceled Futurama, canceled the PJ's.
PJ's moved to UPN or CW. I think it was UPN, not WB. It went on a few more seasons. It was doing okay on there. I was surprised they could do a claymation show as a weekly show.
Well, I mean, if you go back and watch it now, you see a lot of scenes where it's like, this is just a stock dialogue scene for this character. They can just kind of plug it in wherever they want to. It's like the show's a bit modular in that way.
Oh, man, I need to rewatch it. I'm sure we'll do a PJ's episode if we hit that goal for talking tunes.
That'd be great.
Whatever we call it. But so that's all the comments for now.
Yeah.
And yeah, feel free to comment on this episode or this post on Patreon, but we'll also be collecting them from other ones. And let us know what you think of this audience interactive one we want to do with the patrons as well to keep more exclusives going there.
Yes. You can't possibly hate this if you listen this long. Yes.
And yeah, don't forget, I know if we're already taking money from you, but
give us more.
iTunes reviews would be very helpful.
And like telling people about the show. It's funny that even with Retronauts, everyone assumes that's my other podcast, in case you didn't know. It's been running for 10 years, almost 11. Everyone assumes it's an institution. Everyone knows about it. That's not true. I hear every day, I just found Retronauts. I hear every day, I just found Talking Simpsons. There are people that don't know about our shows, but should. And if you know any Simpsons fans, let them know, because I just get all these great messages from people every day. Like, I just found your show. I'm digging into it. Like, personally, as someone who listens to podcasts, nothing makes me happier than finding a podcast I like and then seeing 100 episodes I have to listen to. I'm like, oh my God, there's so much here. So
yeah, just so much content. And you can run out of it, you know? Like, 100 episodes may seem endless, but if you're listening to it every time you go to the gym or you are playing a video game or in public transit or driving to work, like, those episodes go fast.
Yeah, one of our friends is started a few months ago and now is at, I think, Homer Goes to College.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, she sent me, she might be listening to this. Hello.
Hello.
She sent me a complaint about us making fun of Garrison Keillor, but I was like, send a letter to David Merkin first. He started it.
Yeah, that was also funny because I thought she knew I was gay, and then she listened to an episode where I mentioned it. She's like, wait, you're gay? I was like, I thought we knew. I thought we were gay brothers.
You didn't send her the official, like, announcement.
I know, yeah. It's, hey, maybe me saying that just now was news to people.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Coming out is a continual process of just like, oh, yeah, you didn't know. I've now come out to you again or something like
guys
that.
Guys like me got it easy.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody just assumes.
But more people assume I'm gay than I'm straight, probably, so.
Perhaps.
I get that a lot.
Thanks for listening. I hope it sounded good in our first kitchen studio recording here.
Yeah, let us know what we can fix. I think we listened to like some audio, like a test audio. It sounded fine. I think this will work. This is a great little space to just hop on over to Henry's, do a little recording. And I like this format. So if you want us to do anything else with this, let us know.
Infotainment.